Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. High of 74. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered storms Monday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Tuesday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on KOKK. Currently, it's 40.
With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. High school football last night around the area, we had a pair of games on the air. On Tiger 95, it was homecoming 2019 for Huron. Huron Tigers defeat Sturgis 35-13, jumping out to a 28-0 lead at halftime and going on to the victory from there. Cade McNeil, four touchdown passes to four different receivers, Cooper Freiberger, Kobe Bush, Derek Simmonsma, and Landon Haig. Walker Schultz added a short touchdown run. Hayden Haig had a pair of interceptions. Huron improves their record to 3-2 on the season. Here on KOKK, Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central traveled to Miller, Highmore, Herald. The Blackhawks get the 32-0 shutout win. Camden Yost carried the ball 12 times for 88 yards and a touchdown to lead Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. Carter Groves had 6 carries for 75 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Woolsey Wessington scored big last night as they defeated Platte Geddes 60-20. Skylar Zomer had the big night, 24 carries, 245 yards, 6 touchdowns for the Warbirds. Marty Gohn, 11 carries for 148 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Caleb Liebnow, 7 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown. Sully Buttes defeated Hitchcock Tuler, shut them out 54-0, game called the middle of the third quarter. Corsica Stickney defeated Sunshine Bible 46-16. Winner defeated Mount Vernon Plankinton 14-6. Bonham defeated Kimball White Lake last night. Looking at some other 11AA scores last night, in a wild one down at Joe Quintal, Mitchell edged Yankton 45-42. Mitchell pretty much always had the lead, but Yankton wouldn't go away. Both teams had long kickoff returns for touchdowns in the second half, but Mitchell hangs on for the victory. Top-ranked Pierre coming to Huron next week. Shutout Spearfish 72-0. Spearfish did not have a first down against Pierre last night. Brookings stayed undefeated as well as they shut out Douglas 49-0. 11AAA, Brandon Valley defeated Watertown 42-28. Sioux Falls Roosevelt edged Harrisburg 23-21. A safety proved to be the difference in that game. Another high-scoring game, O'Gorman defeated Rapid City Central 56-28. Sioux Falls Lincoln took care of Aberdeen Central 25-13. In a wild one late last night, Rapid City Stevens defeated Sioux Falls Washington 37-34 in triple overtime. That's the rundown of the football scores from last night. A look at the schedule for today. Busy with volleyball around the area. Huron Tigers will be on the road today for an afternoon matchup in Brookings. 2:10 pregame, 2:30 with the match on Tiger 95. Hitchcock Tuler will be among many teams from across the state at the Pentagon Classic in Sioux Falls today. Sunshine Bible, Highmore Herald, Miller, and Woolsey Wessington are all playing at the Central South Dakota Conference Tournament in Gettysburg today, while Iroquois Dolan and Wessington Springs are playing in the Kimball White Lake Tournament today. For the Huron Tigers, girls tennis, Pier Triangular today. They're getting set for the ESD Tournament coming up on Tuesday. Huron Tiger Boys Golf will be at the ESD meet in Mitchell today. In soccer, the Huron teams traveled to Pierre. This is a makeup from a rainout a couple of weeks ago. Also, James Valley Christian boys are at Freeman Academy. And that's the rundown of our local schedule for today. Minnesota Twins won again last night, opening up their series to end the season. In Kansas City, Twins defeated the Royals 6-2, game called after 7 innings due to rain. Jose Barrios pitched a complete game, albeit 7 innings, as the Twins picked up their 100th win of the season. Ryan Lamar, Miguel Sano each hit home runs early in the game to put the Twins into the lead. Now, the Twins in Kansas City have game 2 of their series today. They have already moved up the start time. Instead of a 6:15 start, they're going with a 1:15 start, although the forecast isn't real great for the daytime in Kansas City either, but they're expecting storms tonight, and that led them to change the start time. So 12:30 pregame, 1:15 with the first pitch for Twins baseball today here on KOKK. Coming up on Dakota Sports Saturday, we will talk with Huron Tiger coaches Shelley Budenhagen for volleyball, Kyle Johnson in boys golf, Rachel Carey for girls tennis, and Scott Spatton talking about last night's homecoming win for the Tiger football team. That'll be Dakota Sports Saturday coming up at about 8:15 this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
We're back here. First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, Shelley Budenhagen joins us here, head volleyball coach for the Tigers. Tough matchup today for Huron. Afternoon match the night at, or the day after homecoming. Tigers, though, coming off a nice win on a Thursday. And Shelley, I guess Thursday night, the win over Mitchell, you can't complain too much with everything going on. You know, the girls came out focused, lost a little focus perhaps there as the match wore on, but when you need to make plays, you win it in four.
Well, we were up 24-20 in the third set after coming back, and we tend to fall into these funks where we just make so many hitting errors, and that tends to happen when you're running the kind of offense that we're trying to run, and the kids were trying stuff. And so I'm glad they had a chance, and I'm glad they had the guts to risk some things that are coming down the stretch. And, you know, if you play for it, it just doesn't matter. You see a lot of Division I programs play lower level programs, and they still go four sets. So it doesn't matter. A win is a win, and I don't care if it's beautiful or ugly or indifferent. I don't care. A win is a win, and we got a lot of touches on the volleyball, and so it was a great night for us. And anytime you can beat the Mitchell Colonels, it's a great night.
You know, and for every coach during this past week, well, including today for you, soccer and golf and tennis, everybody played
marching
today.
Band, yeah.
Marching
yeah.
band, you know, this is always a concern, homecoming. You know, it's fun for the kids, but I think it's a week that every coach is ready to have it be done with.
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's so much rigmarole as there used to be in the olden days. I mean,
there's still enough.
You know, I'm a Huron High School graduate, and there was whitewashing and toilet paper, and you had the football game. And
some people mistook white paint for whitewash, I heard sometimes too.
Yeah, we were very artsy in the streets, but you know, that stuff is all tamed down, and you know, there was activities every single night where, you know, you had your class tug of wars, and there was car pushing.
We had a snake dance in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
That dates you. No, yeah. So I think, you know, maybe we did that too down Dakota or something like that. So I think a lot of that is gone, and in my mind, it's just a week of dress up. But they're, you know, it's good for the kids, and it brings the school together and school spirit. And so you gotta have homecoming. But you do worry as coaches, whether the kids are getting enough rest, sleep, if they're focused enough on what when we're in the gym, if they're focused on what we want them to be focused on. This is a big day for us. This is the first time in my 11 years back. I can't believe it's been 11. We were counting on our fingers before this. We play on a Saturday after the parade and the football game. But there's no dance either. There's no dance anymore. That's crazy, isn't it?
That doesn't even sound right.
I know. I think for us it's just a regular day. And what we're trying to do is the last time we took the bus to anywhere, it was to Harrisburg. On a Saturday, and that didn't go so well for us.
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, everything went wrong. So we're doing everything opposite. We didn't have a practice before we got in the bus. We are having a practice before we get in the bus. We didn't go for a team walk when we got there. We're going to go for our team walk. We're just going to do things way differently than we did from going down to Harrisburg and see if that works for us. But we're going to go to Brookings, and I don't know what their record is, and we don't care. We've been through this scenario before.
I'm assuming they had homecoming last night, too, I think.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure on that.
We just know that whenever we go to Brookings, it's a tough place to play because of the venue, and they've got a rowdy crowd.
A little like playing at Mitchell.
Yeah, the crowd's right on top of you, so we have to talk a lot to the kids about not getting wrapped into what they're saying, and don't worry about what the crowd is saying, unlike what happened with Mitchell. Yeah, we're not going to worry about the crowd. We're going to use that as energy.
And, Brookings, we beat them rather handily there. I think it was the day after Labor Day, but they're a young rebuilding team with only, I believe, three players back from last year's state tournament team. So, they just have had a chance to improve here. Teams like that are dangerous. You know they're going to be better the second time you play them.
Well, absolutely, and we've talked a lot about that. And their middle game, is really stepping up. They've got Joanna Miller in the middle, 6'3". We've got 5'4", 5'5", going against her at times. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to answer with. But we always say that if we can get two big blocks and one great big dig, it can change a set. Defenses can change offenses, and that's what we're going to try to do. And I think Libby and Emily and Brooke and McKenna and Elena have been blocking so much better. And I think, we'll have a better answer than that. I don't think we had a lot of blocks last time we played Brookings. But we've told the kids they're way different. They're passing the ball better. They're playing defense better. And they're hungry. And we ran into a Mitchell team that was very hungry. We ran into a Harrisburg team that was very hungry. And so,
and look how Harrisburg has done since.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, they're hot.
Well.
They're one of the hot teams right now. I think they took Washington, deep into the match and could have had it, according to what we've been hearing. And so, we've been here, done that, and hopefully we've learned. And sometimes you have to go through adversity to get better, and that's where we feel like we've been, and we've learned a lot. And that's all we're going to ask, is that every time that you don't have success, whatever success is, according to whoever's dictionary, we're going to fail forward, and I think our team has done that.
Yeah, no, we'll let you go here. I know you got your practice you just mentioned there, but bottom line is, homecoming is fun, and that was about the biggest crowd I remember seeing at a homecoming football game in years.
That was terrific.
Just keep the momentum going. As you mentioned, it brings the school together. That brings the community together as well. Let's make it one more day here. As you said, about everybody but football is out competing today, so we still have something left here for homecoming week.
Yeah, we do, And that's what we've talked about, is that we're going to finish this off with a bang here and celebrate not only here in Tiger Volleyball, but here in high school and the community of Huron. And there's a sign that goes up, or we have it up when we walk right into the arena for practice. It says we play for Huron, and that's the Huron community, and that's the Huron school. And there's a lot of great things about this community. And I think our athletics right now is a great thing about it. So it was a great week, and it's still going to be until hopefully about 5 o'clock tonight. And we just can't wait to go back on the road and fix the things that we feel like we did wrong in preparation for Harrisburg. And we can do a lot better. Maybe we didn't do a lot of things wrong, but we could certainly do them a lot better. And I just can't wait to watch this team play. And they're at that point that after we play Harrisburg, we went back to square one not really square one, but we went back to practice and worked really, really hard like it was preseason and went back to those roots. And now they feel like it's time to play now. Enough of the root building. We're going to continue to play, and that's what they want to do. And they're excited to play today. I mean, they really are. Whether it's homecoming or day after a big football game, they're excited to play, and that's a very good sign.
I said we'll wrap it up, but we've got one more thing I do want to bring up. Yeah. You don't have all the details yet, but October 15th is Pink Night.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of things put together, still a few things to go, but just bottom line, mark your calendar for October 15th.
Yeah, you know, okay, so here we go. It's going to be Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The pink month, and
yeah, it's not actually October yet.
No, not yet, but we're getting there. And so we've got our annual T-shirt drive, and this year they're going to be black. And so we've got a good theme there, and they'll be ordered in here 2 days before the match, a little bit later than we've had in the past. We also then have a new idea of having a silent auction, and already we've gotten some cool items. You know, you've brought something to us, and then we've got another former Huron Tiger, like we always say, tradition never graduates, a Huron Tiger parent, a former one, that's making us a sign. We've got some Tiger warm-up jackets. A lot of people commented our jackets yesterday at the parade. And so we have businesses in town that are now going to really jump on board and help us make this silent auction a great success. So, and then, of course, we have a rose ceremony, so we'll be going after some candidates to honor before the match for the survivors, for the ones that have passed away, and for the ones who are currently battling. And I think that's had a renowned effect on a lot of our young ladies, that these are the ladies that are basically the trailblazers for us, making sure that we've got a better future as far as this disease is concerned. So a big night, and all the proceeds that go towards our T-shirt sales and the silent auction stays local.
Well, HRMC, yeah, your partner with HRMC,
yeah,
on this.
Yeah, so HRMC is helping us put this together, and they've got a big week because they also have their event at Runnings, and then the Prestrello Cancer Walk is all that week. So it's kind of cool that we're going to, you know, raise a lot of funds for the local amounts. And I think the program is called We've Got You Covered at HRMC. And so, and again, it's a great tradition, and it's something that we feel volleyball started a long time ago, and the NFL has caught on, and basketball has caught on.
Everybody's doing the pink thing, but it started with college volleyball, right?
It did. It really did. And, it's become a big commercialized thing, but we try to uncommercialize a lot of it and keep the dollars here.
Okay, sounds good. We'll have more details, but just kind of got all the plans together. The main thing is the date. That'll be Tuesday, October 15th, here on hosting Harrisburg. Again, here on traveling to Brookings today, there'll be a 2:10 pre-match, 2:30 start on Tiger 95. More coming up here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Here on Tiger Golf with head coach Kyle Johnson. The Tigers pretty much in the home stretch of the season now. The boys will be headed to Mitchell today for ESD, and then that pretty much gets them set up for the state AA golf tournament. And Kyle, just kind of look back on this season. Pretty much you've had a core four that have been your team here at each tournament. They had to get used to a new coach and yourself, and you had to get a little bit used to them. Just kind of look back, how's this season went for you?
Yeah, so started off the season was a little bit of a struggle. We had a couple of tough tournaments, but lately we've started to turn around. We've seen a lot of the things that we needed to start to work on. We've been hitting it hard in practice and slowly starting to see some of our scores get lower.
And Landon Roberts, the sophomore, he's kind of been your kingpin there. He's had the low score most times, and I guess one thing I already know about that kid is he loves to play golf.
Yeah, I think he was out there every day this summer. It's nice to see so much excitement for the game. He's really helped us out every tournament, and then even in practices, he's trying to help everybody else become better golfers so we can all see the scores come down.
Then your other three, Nathan Gower, Will Smith, and Marty Botell, they've all had their moments, but, you know, that's the thing where one guy might be your number two or even beat out Landon and be the number one, but then the next week they might drop back a bit. It's just that consistency, which I guess every golfer is looking for.
Yeah, it'd be nice to always be consistent, but we've had a couple tough tournaments. We've had, I know three for sure, where we've had at least 30-mile-an-hour winds that really affects the ball, and a lot of tree troubles with the other courses. We don't have much here at Broadland, but they're working on it and hitting the ball straighter.
Now, the ESD is at Lakeview in Mitchell, and I guess it's not Broadland Creek, but it is a course that pretty much everybody's familiar with from doing the junior golf tour over the past few summers. This will be your third time on the course this season.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to go to a course that we're familiar with. They know the holes that they can attack, go for the birdies, and the holes where maybe this time we need to hit it easy and just save a par.
Talk about the degree of difficulty of that golf course. Granted, this year about every golf course probably has a few water hazards that they normally wouldn't have in past years.
Yeah, last time when we played Mitchell, it actually was pretty dried out by the time we got there. So it looks a lot nicer. It'll set up nice for when we go to state. They're very similar courses with the way they're set up, just a little bit different on the greens, but it'll help the players get ready.
Well, talk about your expectations for your kids. I guess whatever a golf coach strives for is to have everybody come together and have their best round at the same time. Easier said than done, though.
Yeah, like I said, we've been working pretty hard at practice. We've seen some things that we need to work on, and I think for a lot of the guys, we expect at least Landon to place the top 15 for the ESD, so he'd get all conference. Even for a couple of the guys, they could probably get close if they put together a full round.
Going to talk with Kyle Johnson, head boys golf coach for the Huron Tigers, ESD coming up in Mitchell, and then they get set for the state. Tell us about ESD overall. Who are some of the teams that you feel are going to be in the running for that conference title?
Some of the teams, they're usually Pier and Yankton. They usually put together a good team. But we're hoping to finish in the top five. That'd be a big accomplishment for our team. We've kind of finished towards the bottom most of the time, but if we put together the rounds, I think we could definitely finish top five.
And really, everything you've done up to now has just been almost basically a build-up to now. For me in golf, the two big meets are ESD and then the state tournament. Have you seen improvement? Have you seen some of the things out of the kids that you've wanted to see here over the past, 2 months?
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been telling the kids throughout the year. If we've started out pretty bad, you know, it's just a practice round until we get to our big tournaments. I know when we get to some of the first tournaments, they all wanted to start out so good. It didn't happen, so we had to work on more of our attitudes around the course, too. So we've seen that improve. They know, you know what, if it's not going the best, we can try something different, and that's going to work for us.
You know, Kyle Johnson, head boys golf coach for the Huron Tigers, heading to the ESD. Hopefully the weather holds out here for a golf today in Mitchell. Then they get sent for the state AA golf tournament starting week from Monday in Yankton. Time out. More coming up here. Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here, Dakota Sports Saturday Time with Rachel Carey, head girls tennis coach for the Huron Tigers. Tigers closing out the season at Pier today and then off to Harrisburg on Tuesday for the ESD tournament. And Rachel, first off, just in some general terms, talk about the growth, the improvement you've seen. I know it's kind of a young team and some girls playing in different spots. Talk about how this team has evolved this fall.
Sure. Yep, still a very young team, just one senior. But I feel like from the start of the season to where we are today, there's been significant growth and improvement. Even though we maybe haven't won a lot of matches as a team, I've seen the girls win some singles matches, some tough singles matches, some tough doubles matches, and so that's huge. And tennis is an interesting sport in that it's nice to get those wins as a team, but when it comes time for seedings and things like that, it depends on your wins and your losses. So I think the girls had a really good season so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing how ESD and state go for us.
You know, and I know it's always an excuse in a way, but there's been a lot of tight matches, and, you know, maybe the girls learned from that this year to carry over to the next year that, you know, you just need to make maybe that one extra backhand, just make that one less mistake, and things could be a lot different.
Exactly. Closing out a match can be so tough, and some of them have come down to those tiebreakers, or, you know, they get in a situation where you got to win by two games, and they get tied up and then lose the next two. And so closing out matches is a tough thing. It's a mental part of the game, and something that we continue to work on, and hopefully as they grow and mature, that happens, you know, a little bit more easily as we get into some of those tight and close matches. A lot of them have been that way for us this season, where just, yeah, one shot here, one shot there could totally have changed the whole match and could have been a win for us. So it's tough when it comes down to the wire, but hopefully we can close out some of those matches at ESD and state.
Well, as I mentioned, it's Pier today, and then you get ready for Harrisburg. And really, today's almost, I would assume, just a tune-up, really. I think you have a couple of West River opponents. Basically, it's a triangular for you today.
Yes, exactly. Rapid City, Stevens, and St. Thomas More. So, good experience, good teams. Exactly. It'll be a nice warm-up going into ESD this week. Nice to get one more match in. The more they can play, the better.
And let's just look ahead to Harrisburg and ESD. That's coming up on Tuesday, and there's a lot of unknowns this year. As we talked about at the beginning of the season, double A and A, there's two divisions for the first time. Huron is a Class A. In the past, the ESD has really had a big say in where girls would be seated for the state tournament, and while that's still there to an effect, there's still some unknowns here.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, you know, some schools that we're going to play at ESD that aren't in our class for state. You know, it's based on points and things like that for your seating, so those will still come into play, but it'll be interesting to see how it all works itself out with ESD schools being a little bit different than who we're going to see at state this year. So anxious to find that out and see how everything works.
You know, and that's the thing you and I were talking before we started here. Really, everything's kind of a work in progress now. Everybody's trying to see now where are we going to go with this two-class division. And it's probably a safe bet to say how things are set up this year is probably going to be different in many areas next year.
Yeah, I definitely see some changes to our schedule next year possibly. Just trying to work in maybe some more of those teams that we're going to see at state, things like that. So, yeah, it's been a work in progress, but I think it's been a very, very positive thing, a very improving, you know, just the play that my girls have seen, because they're playing at girls that are maybe a little bit more at their level. So I see a lot of positives, and I'm anxious to see how the state tournament plays out.
Let's talk about the ESD. What are some of the goals here for your girls?
Yeah, ESD, there's a lot of tough schools in the ESD tournament, but like I said, we've had some really close matches, some matches that really could have gone either way, and I hope that we find ourselves in those situations at ESD, and this time we can close them out and get some really good wins. It's right there. We just got to get over that that hurdle a little bit.
And as I said, we do know ESD will have an effect in some ways with the state tournament seeding. So obviously, the better we play in on Tuesday, the better things shape up for state.
Yes, exactly. The more wins we can get and the more points that we can earn, that's definitely going to help our seedings at state. So hopefully that's the case and some of those close matches go our way.
And just wrap it up with this, the season here, hard to believe you're already getting here close to the end, just a week and a half left here basically. And that's one thing too, the state tournament now is a Monday-Tuesday thing for Class A, then Thursday-Friday for AA. So again, there's just a lot of things to get used to, but overall I know you were pretty thrilled to find out about the change, and I don't think your opinion has changed at all.
No, not at all. It's been a great season for us. I have an absolutely fantastic group of girls. They work hard. They focus when they need to, but they're having fun out there, and they are a polite and respectful team, and I like that we have that reputation. But I'm very excited about the two-class system and what that does for Huron, and my opinion on that hasn't changed at all. I think it's going to be great moving forward, too.
Rachel Carey, head girls tennis coach for the Huron Tigers. They have a couple of duels in a pier today, St. Thomas More, Rapid City Stevens. Then Tuesday, they travel to Harrisburg for the ESD conference meet. Then a week from Monday and Tuesday to Sioux Falls for the Class A tennis tournament. So the end of the season is drawing near, just a week and a half left for Huron Tiger girls tennis. More coming up, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we're back here wrapping up Dakota Sports Saturday, and Scott Spanton, head coach here on Tiger Football, joins us. Tigers pick up a homecoming win last night, 35-13 over the Sturgis Scoopers, coming out strong, 28-0 halftime lead, and go on to the victory from there. And coach, a lot of positives out of that. You wanted a fast start, you got that, a opening drive touchdown, 28-0 at halftime. Defense, I think, gave up just two first downs in the first half. So, kids, you know, you're always worried about that and the way you start on a homecoming, but the kids responded last night.
Yes, sir. We were concerned, obviously, after last week's performance going into the week, but I think one of the big things was it was a testament to the kids' mentality when it came down to preparation during the week. That was much better. Our focus was better. Obviously, you worried a little bit about all the distractions during homecoming, but overall, you know, we talked about coming out and try to get on top early, and that bodes well for us, and I think we did a pretty good job of that offensively. You know, we did some things that, you know, throwing and running the ball, mixing it up, and then defensively, as you mentioned, you know, we did a great job this week of getting to the football, and when we got there, we had more than one hat there, and so again, rallying to the ball was a big part of that, but we just wanted to get, you know, some confidence going into this one, getting off to a good start, a fast, you know, start, and I thought overall we did a pretty good job of that.
I know you mentioned, too, you kind of went over the first four games, saw some tendencies where certain situations were doing certain things. You looked to change that up, and it sounds like that strategy worked as well.
Right. We wanted to try to throw the ball a little bit more on first down. We've been pretty predictable, but again, a big percentage was, you know, we basically run the ball about 80% of the time on first down. So, and Cade, we need to try to get him some confidence early with some short passes and whatnot, and he did a good job last night responding and making some good throws and good decisions. That was the best thing, you know. There were some times where he had some pressure and he made better decisions with the ball and taking care of it, and that helped quite a bit. And like I said, the receivers stepped up and made some big plays, the backs out of the backfield. So overall, protection was good. So
all those things, when we're clicking and all those things are happening like we want, then we can be pretty effective. And I thought, again, the first half, we did a pretty good job of that.
You know, in that first drive, you kind of forget that before they got the touchdown pass to Cooper Freiberger, Tyson Lean had about a 35-yard run. He had a great game last night, so we did set the tone there with that big run, and I think that might have been as big a play as any last night.
Sure. I mean, you know, like I said, we like to try to be balanced, you know, and our offensive line, again, did a pretty good job as far as opening some holes. Tyson made a nice run. All night long, I was impressed with Tyson on both sides of the ball. He's one of those that comes ready to play as far as tenacity and intensity, and I thought he did a great job on both sides of the ball. And but again, you know, it was important for us from the confidence standpoint to come out and set the tone and set the tempo, and again, I thought we did a nice job of that last night. So proud of the kids, how they responded. And like I said, you know, one of those deals is, you know, we know that this was kind of a, I hate to say a must game, but we knew it was very important. We knew they were coming in hungry. They played some quality opponents, and so we knew we were up for a challenge. And like I said, it was nice to see the kids step up to the plate and take it on.
You know, and two of the touchdowns came on flat-out busted coverages by Sturgis, and, you know, take that for what it may, but you still have to recognize it. You still have to get the ball there. The second one that Derek Simmons caught with nobody anywhere near him, Cade McNeil did a great job of escaping, rolling out. He rolled out in the right direction to where Derek was and then spotted him and threw it.
Yes, I thought Cade, again, did a nice job last night of, you know, first of all, taking care of the ball, making plays when they were there, but when they weren't there, he made some good decisions on that end of it, too, where, you know, but again, I think a lot of times when he scrambles around back there, you have a tendency, you know, in the secondary, sometimes your eyes get lost, and obviously they lost track of a couple of guys, and Cade spotted them, made nice throws, and got it to those guys, and then, you know, Derek made a heck of a run, which was really a, you know, basically a flat route, a short route, and broke a tackle. And so, you know, it was nice to see that from him and have success catching the ball for his confidence. But again, you know, Cade did a nice job of keeping his eyes down the field and making those plays when they're available. And the receivers for that, Mark, that part, you know, we talked about also, you know, when you get an opportunity to make a play, that's one thing we've got to do a better job of is, you know, making some big plays and switch the momentum, you know, that type of thing. And I thought, again, we did a pretty good job of that last night.
You know, and defensively, again, we're balanced, just like we are running the ball, really. But on our stats, we had four guys, I believe, the Jaron Schley, Tyson Lean, Spencer Lord, Derek Simsma, between 5 and 7 tackles. We had, as you said at the beginning, we had a lot of hats around the ball. That means a lot of guys are getting involved.
For us, that's important. You know, we stress trying, again, during the week especially, you know, because there's times where, you know, at times we'll get there and we kind of take it for granted in practice. We may not fit up properly or whatever, but the big thing is when we get more people to the ball, usually things bode well for us on the defensive side, and that was crucial for us to have success last night. And, again, I thought our energy level was real good. I thought our tackling was much better, attacking the football, being in the right spot at the right time. I thought defensively, especially in the first half, I thought we did a great job of that.
Now, second half, I know you said you were a little worried about how the kids would come out. They did get the 3-and-out, and then after we had the bad punt, they had great field position, but we stopped them on fourth down from our 11-yard line. So, again, they did respond.
Right. You know, that's one of those deals you worry about when you go into halftime and you're up. You know, you come back and you're hoping, you know, really you almost like to just keep playing because your momentum's going, and then you take that little break, and sometimes, you know, you worry about coming back focused, and, you know, thinking that the game might be pretty much in hand. Well, we try to stress that, you know, we're starting over. It's 0-0 at halftime. We got to have the same mentality. You know, we can't give them an inch. You know, what we've done in the first half is great, but we got to continue to do that in the second half. And, you know, at times I thought we did that. Sometimes we stubbed our toe a little bit offensively. We made some plays, but unfortunately we might have had a penalty here or there, or a mishap. And but overall, the good news about that was I thought we responded pretty well, you know, mentality-wise. Didn't see a lot of heads dropping, you know, and getting on each other and whatnot. I thought from that standpoint we held our composure pretty well.
You know, and the Hague twins, I forgot to mention them before. Hayden had two interceptions last night, three now in the last two games. Landon Hague scored what really was kind of a big touchdown for us the last one. Sturgis felt like they had the momentum. He took that swing pass. He's just in his second game back after his shoulder injury, and boy, you saw the speed.
Right. Yeah, that was a big play for us because we needed something to switch the momentum. You know, they got a little run on us and made a couple of throws and a couple catches and nice runs. And so, you know, it was one of those deals where, and then, of course, the onside kick, you know.
Onside kicks are onside kicks. There's a reason why there's 2 points at the end of a football. You don't know where it's going to go.
Right. And in that situation, again, we always tell the kids if it's hard and that, you try to get out of the way and, you know, let the second row get to it. And then they come back with it again. But fortunately, the other guy kicked it and it was a roller instead of a bouncer. But, you know, that was a key component again where we needed to get that onside kick because then we have field position. And but that was a big answer for us to come back and, you know, try to get back on the board there and help solidify it. And I thought, you know, again, Kay made a nice throw. One of those deals where it was a short pass, but he made a great run after the catch and showed a little bit of his capability speed-wise and made a nice run down the left sideline.
And coming out of the game, I didn't notice any major injuries. I saw Kobe Bush hobble one time. I saw Derek Simmonsma, but they both came back in after that. And outside of the couple of guys that are out, Sebastian Cardona, Isaiah Decker, looks like we came out relatively unscathed.
As far as I know, we like you said, I think we came out pretty good health-wise. You know, I think Kobe might have got stepped on or whatever early on, but for the most part, again, I think we came out of it pretty well, which is key for us because, you know, it's no secret depth-wise and whatnot in certain positions. We've got to be able to stay healthy, and especially going into this week against Pierre. You know, we need all hands on deck because we know the challenge that's ahead of us. And I think, again, last night was big for us from this confidence standpoint and getting some momentum going into this game. And, again, it's nice to be in the confines of Tiger Stadium rather than having to go on the road and make another road trip. But I think, again, you know, our preparation this week needs to be as good, if not better, than last week because it's time to, again, step up to the challenge. We got defending state champions coming to town, and, you know, they've been playing well. They've been blowing people out. Sometimes I don't know if they've even played past halftime. So it's one of those deals where hopefully we can make it a four-quarter game and keep it close and, you know, and see what happens.
You know, and that's the thing I think is getting lost a little bit when you prepare for Pierre. Yeah, they're putting up flashy offensive numbers, 72-0 last night, but that nothing needs to be considered, too. They're playing well defensively, from what I understand. Spearfish, no first downs last night. I don't care who you're playing. That's tough to do.
Right. You know, so we know what we're up against. We'll look at the video and break it down. But, you know, our biggest thing is, you know, I'm more worried about us. Again, preparation-wise during the week, getting things in order that we can try to take advantage of, and execution on both sides of the ball is key. All three phases will be key. We're going to have to play four quarters of football, there's no doubt. And right now, at times we play two, maybe two and a half, but we're yet to put a full game together. So hopefully this week we can do that because, like I said, it's a big challenge in front of us, and I think we'll step up to the plate and we'll see what happens.
Scott Spatton, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers will prepare for the top-ranked, undefeated Pierre Governors rematch of last year's 11AA championship game next Friday night, Tiger Stadium, 7 o'clock kickoff on Tiger 95. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. We do have volleyball coming up this afternoon on Tiger 95, 2:10 pre-match. Here on at Brookings, Twins baseball this afternoon. Again, that game has been moved due to the threat of rain in the Kansas City area. Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max coming up shortly. Up next, though, will be Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Wally James for the Territorial Rodeo Update's Top 5 Countdown on this great American radio station. Got a couple of big breaking stories this week, and I promise not to say quid pro quo. Some got it, some didn't. Anyways, Iowa's reigning world champion saddle bronc rider Wade Sindel walked out of the hospital this week after a month-long stay with a lacerated liver. He's on the mend. Equally big news, this is the final week for earnings for the 2019 NFR. Got some horse races coming down to the wire. Details on the other side. The folks at Premier Equipment don't really like to toot their own horn, but I, a highly paid non-attorney spokesperson, will. The five family-owned Premier Equipment locations were recently named the world's biggest Quaker dealer and the nation's top-selling Haybuster outlet. With that kind of buying power, you can get the best prices on the planet. MacDon, McCormick, New Holland, Sioux Bins, Quaker Loaders, Rouse Rakes, Bobcat, Haybuster, Landall, J&M Grain Carts, the list goes on and on. See over 950 new and used units at PremierEQSD.com. That's PremierEQSD.com. Let's take a gander at how our cowboys and cowgirls from our original TRU coverage area of Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Kansas, Montana, and the Dakota Twins are situated for the sprint to the NFR. Raise it, do your job, hit it, and let's get it on. Gotcha.
What in the hell?
In the Bears, three-time world champ Tim O'Connell is uninjured and booms to seventh in the world. Ty Brewer, Mandan Nodak locked in at seventh. Sandhiller, Stephen Den, Bullen, Nebraska, 10 spot. Minnesota lad, Tanner.